everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we're off and running on a really good-looking weekend. However, it's going to cool off, which is okay. I mean, I don't mind 85.
Well, we're in the middle of November,
yeah,
Bill.
Middle of November, so let's
expect some cooler temperatures.
Yeah, let's go down to normal temperatures. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Here we are, Friday, middle of November, November 15th. We've got five radio stations now under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, The Voice. As for our program, we'll begin our 15th year on the radio and then our 37th year in Tucson Broadcasting in January. Worldwide live listening podcast at buckmastershow.com. When we do the telephone interviews, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Friday, we bring in a guest from the media to be my co-anchor. And today it's my good friend, who Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And Dan, you've been such a great partner to the show through the years. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you. And I think this election season showed how important your show is once again, getting the candidates out there just to address the tough questions.
Thank you very much. Dan is the editor not only of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, but he's also the editorial director for... It's about three dozen newspapers, mm-hmm. right, Dan?
Sure.
In 13 states?
13 states.
Any new acquisitions? Or?
We just bought what amounts to kind of a TV station in Wenatchee, Washington. It's not exactly a TV station, but it's darn close.
Over eastern area of Washington.
And we are looking forward to moving more into video and connecting with people that way.
All right, and that's all part of Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. Jan Lesher is here, our Friday Focus interview. Jan is the administrator of Pima County. And Jan, my goodness, first of all, great to see you as usual.
Oh, good to see you, Bill. Thank you.
My goodness, we're still counting counting the ballots, and people are frustrated.
Sure.
You understand that.
People are very frustrated, Bill. I get that, and I think... it's quite a process, and I'm going to give you a few numbers,
sure,
if it helps, but I was looking before I came today. At this point, we have counted in Pima County 513,476 ballots. 40,232 were people who voted at the polls election day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everything else are the, are early ballots, if you will, and about 260,000 is a round number, came in before Election Day, which means you've got about half the ballots then that came in after Election Day that then need to be opened and processed and the signatures verified. And anytime people are touching ballots on the election side of the House, you have to have what we call a board, which is a group of people representing the different political parties so that you don't have just Democrats or just Republicans. Mm-hmm. So all those, that has to be there. It just takes time. And the difficult situation we're in is so many more people now get their early ballot and then bring it in to a polling place on Election Day and turn it in then. So those ballots, in effect, go to the back of the line after we process Election Day voters, and that time-consuming process of opening ballots goes on. At this point, there are 7,588 ballots in hand remaining to be processed. And for someone who hears that number now and then looks later and says, it doesn't add up. Not all of those ballots may make it through. History says some get rejected. This is the process now where we're looking at, each of the ballots, do the signatures match, and that sort of thing. Another thing that really slowed things down this year was the two-page ballot.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about just handling and processing paper, if I was looking at numbers comparing to how we did in 22 or 20 from a time perspective, 50,000 ballots this time really equated to 100,000 single ballots in past years because of the need to have the two. And it became clear, I think, that many families, sit around a table and talk about how they're voting and getting information on ballot issues, because we've had, we did have ballots come in with two-page ones or two-page twos, or a lot of them that only voted one side. So different things like that.
Dan, I'm going to take a quick call because this call has to do with the vote. Debbie would like to speak with us, and she's calling us on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Debbie. You're with Jan Lusher.
Hi there, everybody. My question, kind of comment question is, I'm hearing a lot of hand-wringing about how many votes you've had to do this to and how many you've had to do that to. And my suggestion question is, why don't we change the rules? If we can't get it done, then let's make it where we can get it done.
Okay, and Debbie, a lot of people are thinking of that, and the legislature will be addressing this for sure in the new session. Go ahead, Jan.
Absolutely, Debbie, and I think we were just chatting here in the room. I think we have a lot to learn from these elections about how we can process things more quickly. We at the county level don't make those decisions. As Bill's pointed out, that's a state legislative issue. But I think a lot of people are beginning to wonder about, is there a process that we can do legally that just makes sure that people get get everything
deadline set like the state of Florida did. I think it's the Friday before the election. Everything has to be in. Dan. Sure.
But to Debbie's point, though, Maricopa County is the third largest voting jurisdiction in the country, and they are ahead of us on counting ballots, and they have four times as many to count. And why is Pima County not bringing up the rear? Because I think there are a couple of counties behind us, but boy, why can't we get it done?
Get it done quicker. Yep. Well, and I know, as I say, that I'm not throwing excuses because I want to just tell you, first thing we've got to do, and we've talked about, is bringing together a lot of people who worked on this election, and what are the lessons we can learn? How do we not take so darn long next time? But part of it this time, as I've said, we have a lot of folks who are in the room watching us count ballots to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And for all of us, I think if you only work a day or two a year, and you come in to work elections, you want to work the election maybe a couple more days, but the unintended consequence, again, of it going on this long, is people go on to the other things they have to do and get back to a life, or maybe they've taken a couple days off work and their time is lost. So we need to how many people do we really need to hire, and how much space do we need for them to make sure that we've got enough to get those ballots processed and counted?
And I suppose at this point, if it weren't for the sheriff's race, which is within 200 votes, maybe we'd all be kind of past it because pretty much everything else has been settled.
Mm-hmm. So. I think but there's always those one or two. And I think with Congressman Siskomani, Kristen Engel, that one, you know, was very close for folks.
Yeah.
And I kept living through this nightmare that the entire country, the presidential race wasn't called, and they were going to be waiting for Pima County votes to come in.
Oh, my goodness. Let's go back to the live line. A lot of interest in this, and as folks would expect, Al is on line one. Go ahead, Al. You're with Jan Lusher.
I have a very simple question. In the old days, we never had this problem, and now that everything's been changed around and modernized and, it's all new, now we have a big problem. Why can't we just go back the way it was?
Again, sir, that's where we all just
wish that.
When we went in and just voted on election day, and I think for those of us around a while, you could vote. Well, remember, we used to call them absentee ballots, and you could vote an absentee ballot, but you needed a notary or registrar or something to approve them and sign them. And so the vast majority of individuals voted, at the polls on election day.
And Al, I want to bring up something that Jan Lusher brought up earlier and that the county communications department brought up with us, the media, continually, and that it was a 2-page ballot. And this is like double the work. And so it was certainly unusual, and we're certainly not, I would have liked to have been done earlier too, but that does explain something.
Okay, Dan, any other election stuff? You want to go a different direction?
No, let's go a different direction. Please.
Okay.
A lot of people are worried about the Air Force is looking at new flight patterns, a little bit lower, and people in this community very sensitive to the noise. The A-10 has had a certain kind of a noise that I think we've all gotten used to over the years, but now they're talking about some new patterns.
They are, and we are looking at that and seeing how it might impact our folks in Pima County. But I think our role at this point is trying to help the public understand that there is a public comment process, and how people might be able to go through that and make sure that we have information on our website for folks. Because As you point out, DM has been here a long, long time. I can think about 20 plus years ago beginning to look at a community compatibility committee to try to be good partners. But when those planes are coming, as you point out, a little bit lower and a little bit louder across our communities, people have a right to respond to that and to weigh in on what they think that noise, how that noise might impact their homes and their livelihoods.
Dan Shear.
I was talking the other day to County Supervisor Steve Christie, who represents Green Valley, and we were talking about RTA Next. As we know, we have a half-cent sales tax countywide that pays for county projects, road projects and infrastructure, and that is looking at being extended. The vote will come up a year from now, and he was mentioning, and we all know, that Tucson is kind of doing a little bit of saber rattling as far as they want a little more influence in all of this. And he suggested, cavalierly perhaps, but I think he was drop dead serious, that we could possibly go with RTA Next without Tucson. What would that look like? Or is it even something that you think is going to happen?
I think the problem, Dan, is that the half-cent sales tax would still be charged in the city. We can't cut out, as I understand it when I was asked, we can't just cut out a piece of this. The same, I'd asked once, if we ever did a half-cent sales tax for the county, could we do it only in an unincorporated Pima County? And the answer was no, that if we do something at the county, it affects everyone. And RTA Next would affect everyone. So it's possible to cut the city out of a conversation, but we would still be assessing that fee within the city limits. And I think we're going to get into some great political legal challenges about whether they can do that or not. But currently, it would have to be assessed across the county.
So that's something that perhaps just couldn't even be considered because it's county and Tucson's part of the county.
I believe that to be true, but I think anytime we look at things like that, that what's the goal we want to get to? And is it a legislative fix? Is it a code fix? What if we want some of these taxes to only be for certain areas, is there a way to get to that goal? We are at the point with RTA Next that, you know, it's out for public comment, and I think everyone's hope is that it we end up with the nine members of the board, all the incorporated jurisdictions, the county and the nations supporting it. Because I think anytime you have an election where the governing board, in this case RTA Next, is not unanimous in support, it is more than a little bit difficult to get passage.
And then what if we took the RTA and just tossed it aside, the Regional Transportation Authority, and just created one that involved all of these jurisdictions without Tucson, and they could come together as a taxing authority? Is something like that, that might work, but then that wouldn't come under the auspices of the county.
That one couldn't if you want to cut somebody out.
Right.
Because we've talked about, if you were to create a new RTA Next, the other jurisdictions might not want us in, because the minute we come in, it has to cover everybody.
Sure.
But road building in Pima County will continue, right? We're on a 10-year plan, or how are we doing?
Yes, road building will continue. That if we
maintenance and everything else.
The whole kit and caboodle. We have other funding sources for that. When I look at what's now projected in RTA Next, the amount that would be for roads in unincorporated Pima County is about $25 million a year. Mm-hmm. We'd sure like to have that, but we spend more. And what we did a couple of years ago was shift into a new formula to pay as you go, and front-loaded $150 million in the first 3 years to go out and start fixing roads. We still have a ways to go, but I can tell you there was a time when it was the number one issue I got calls about the roads and the potholes,
right?
And we are not getting those calls with the same kind of frequency for the roads in unincorporated Pima County.
All right, let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. It's something everybody can agree on, Jan Lesher. Jan,
what
Mona's and the team, Steve up there, they're taking orders for Thanksgiving. What kind of pie do you usually like? Are you traditional or what?
I'm a pecan pie.
You'll go with the pecan.
Yeah.
How about you, Dan?
Apple. Always apple.
Oh, always apple. Okay. Mona's Danish Bakery. Put in your order right now, because Thanksgiving, really hard to believe, less than 2 weeks away. They'll also do your dinner rolls, everything you can imagine, really, if you've got any special orders. they'll gladly take those as well. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The website, monasdanishbakery.com, home of the Danish Kringle. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Back with Jan Lesher and Dan Shear right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To review and comment on the RTA's new draft plan, visit rtanext.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jan Lesher is here, Pima County Administrator. She is our Friday Focus interview, and Dan Shear is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, you have been asked to look at Props 311 through 314, so that's four of them, and what, give an update next week?
It will be on the agenda to direct staff to do an evaluation of how those four propositions might impact Pima County.
And then if we can look at each four just individually, very briefly, 311, let's start with that. That would establish a $20 fee for every conviction, criminal offense, and it would go to pay a benefit to families of first responders who are killed in the line of duty, $250,000. How might that affect things in Pima County?
How do we record that? How do we collect that? Is it, I just don't know everything yet about, is it then, if it's a fee related to a court fine, are the courts administering it? You know, who is doing the administration from that? How is it collected? And to whom do we forward those dollars for dissemination to the families?
Okay. Prop 312, property tax refunds. This was very concerning and very interesting. And we know that this came out of Phoenix, something called the Zone, which is a complete a disaster. Lots of criminal activity going on, homeless community, drugs, et cetera. And people were upset that the city just didn't act quickly enough to get rid of it. Prop 312 passed would allow for property owners to apply for a property tax refund if they feel like their city has not enforced local laws regarding illegal camping, loitering, obstructing, et cetera, et cetera. Wow.
And I can tell you recently, we've all seen it, you know, with the, I think, recent seems proliferation, if you will, of individuals, you know, living out in the washes and things. That's what we're watching frequently at Pima County. And we have some incidents where we have gone out and helped people clean up those washes and clean up those locations. When you have a big wash next to a multi-story apartment complex, what might that financial impact be? And we don't know yet, but I believe it will. It could be significant.
I just cannot imagine that this is ever going to, there's ever going to be a payout to a homeowner on this one. But as you said off the air, there can be a lot of lawyering back and forth.
Yeah.
This can be very costly.
That's right.
At the very least.
I think you're right.
And that one is Prop
3. That was 312.
12. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. 313 is regarding child sex trafficking. It would impose a mandatory sentence of life without the possibility of release for a person convicted of a Class 2 felony for child sex trafficking.
And that's one we are beginning to work and just understand between the courts, the sheriff's department, what are the local jurisdictions, what is the responsibility, what is the role of the county? Do we, obviously, when you look at some of the work with legal asylum seekers, it's an issue. It may be in our public health department or our libraries. We see lots of individuals coming in and through those facilities. What's our responsibility?
314 is really the biggie, and I think we knew two things going into the election. One is that law enforcement doesn't really support it, and number two, the public did. So that it passed at such a huge rate did not surprise anybody. It does a lot of things, but I'm only going to mention two. It makes it a crime, a state crime, for non-citizens to enter Arizona at a place other than a port. And second, it allows for state and local police to arrest those people who cross the border unlawfully. There's lots of other things in there, but that's the main thing. Are we going to now have local police officers or sheriff's deputies in this federal role?
And our hope is not. I mean, and that's, I think, with what we've been looking at with legal asylum seekers and things, the continued desire for the federal government to be responsible for the federal government's concerns, which include crossing our borders. Does this put us in the, in having to provide those kinds of services? What is it we need to do? And my fear with these are always there could be significant additional requirements from our folks in the county without any dollars to go with them.
So barring court challenges, when does all this take effect? And are you approaching this as if the voters said, yes, we got to make it happen?
That's how I'm approaching it, because that's what we do on this side. If the board, as a policy discussion, wishes to provide different direction about whether we litigate, whether we challenge, how we might fight back on some of those will be the policy decision we look at. I think my job is to make sure we are completely ready to go when we have to enact these, should that be the desire of the governing body.
And then so your message to the board chair next week is going to be, we're prepping as if these are going to happen, and here's what we've done so far, which can't possibly be a whole lot because haven't even been canvassed yet.
Yeah.
But yeah,
right. And as I think the report will then be due back to the board in December, and then the board can be looking at those policy decisions about what they want to challenge or not.
The federal government awarded another $19 million to support asylum seekers. That was the last round of funding that came in, I think, earlier this fall. It's going to be interesting now with the change in leadership in Washington, how all this is going to play out. And maybe you guys better get to the bank and cash the check here before the inauguration.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I'll tell you, we are meeting with the team looking at every
contingency.
What's outstanding? We get a lot of federal money for various programs.
Sure.
I just want to make sure that everything that has been owed to us and already appropriated or allocated gets across the finish line to us, and as you know, get that check cashed.
Yeah, so we really don't know how all of this is going to affect Pima County federal funding, which is a lot.
It is a lot, and I think what it is going to do, I think, is I believe, fairly quickly get us out of the business of working mm-hmm. with the legal asylum seekers, and that our pledge has always been, and the board has remained committed to, only using the federal dollars that were given to fund this program. If we were to shift to have to provide any response out of the general fund, it becomes a very different issue, and I don't see us being able to continue at all with the kind of program we have been providing. And then I don't know what that means. All along, our goal has been to avoid street release. Mm-hmm. We want to have a place in the community where people can be brought and be safe, and to keep the community safe while these individuals move on through the transition. Without the facilities that have been provided, the plan is for Customs and Border Protection to leave those people at the Greyhound bus station. And that has always been the factor that, to me, is the concern that keeps us in the business.
How about the transition center? Had an anniversary. How did that go?
The transition center's doing a terrific job.
It's been now a little over a year.
Just a year, yep.
And what does it do for our listeners that don't know?
Sort of Reader's Digest version, and what we hope to build upon out there, is that individuals who are released from jail can come into the transition center and learn about services very quickly and try to get into programs. Do they need shelter? Do they need drug counseling? What is it that individual needs that might help them break that cycle of getting back into jail? It is cheaper for us to get someone through a transition center and line them up with the appropriate services rather than the very difficult situation of rearresting individuals and getting them back into the jail. We are finding that people, they are much more interested potentially in learning about rehab mm-hmm. and kicking the drugs or getting off the alcohol after a day or two in jail. And that's what we're hoping to be able to provide that location. It is not at all designed to be a place where people stay, but just that.
It's come not out a again. Long-term facility.
It is not by any means. Okay. You can get out. We have likened it to, as we say, the gift shop. When you leave the event, you go through the gift shop on the way out and get things to keep with you in the future. And that's we've had tremendous results, and I think it's a program we will continue and hopefully expand a bit.
It might be a little confusing because I brought it up right after the asylum seekers, but this has nothing to do with the asylum seekers.
It does not,
is people who've been in jail.
Right.
All right, Dan, cheer.
And to add to confusion, let me go back to the asylum seekers real briefly, because the feds have pumped tens of millions of dollars into Pima County to deal with this. But Donald Trump was elected with the assumption that we won't be seeing nearly as many asylum seekers, if any, coming through this area in the future. You think that's realistic?
I think the numbers will change, Dan. When I look back and think, remember, even during it was Title 42, was the health rules that had people stopped at the border for a considerable period of time during COVID, during the pandemic, and we saw very low numbers. And I know, I believe it was May 17th. I remember the day when the new rules changed, and we saw significant numbers coming across the border. If there is a change in the policy and they're not allowed, stopped, or turned around, then we're not funded for it, then there'll be a real difference. And the Greyhound bus station, whatever that location might be, it might be absolutely manageable. It was 2019 when we started doing this. Before that, the program had been in existence for many years, mm-hmm. run by Catholic Community Services in a small way. And then going on to, people remember the Benedictine Monastery was initial days that grew into what we're doing at Pima County. There'll always be, I think, that philanthropic piece, helping those one or two individuals moving through the community.
And then along those lines, Catholic Community Services is going to be out of the business soon.
They are. They have chosen, we're looking for a new RFP for someone to operate the system, and they did not bid. So we'll be looking at who the new operators might be.
Former Councilman Steve Kasachek has transitioned over to Pima County. He's kind of a troubleshooter right now, and he stepped into the role as Monica Dangler is moving on. Monica, I believe, has done a great job at Pima Animal Care, but she's going to be taking a national-level animal welfare job. So what's Steve's role going to be? He's already been busy over there.
Every time I see Steve in the hall, we give him another assignment, I think. But it's you're right. Steve right now is our interim director. He will be. He's working with Monica and will be out there for a period of time while we find a new director. And it's just been out. Talking to the staff, talking to people, because you're at Monica, it's a nationally renowned animal care facility, but I will tell you it probably generates the most constituent calls. Mm-hmm. People are passionate about their animals, mm-hmm. and when they see a dog on a list to be euthanized, people get extremely concerned. So we have somebody out there now with real fresh eyes doing an evaluation of what we might need, how we might do things differently. We will be advertising for a new director of the animal care facility, looking for people with some experience managing things as well as in the animal rescue business. So if you're listening and you care about animals, go to our website and sign up.
Dan, anything else?
Yeah, let me ask an unpopular question regarding animals. Basically, PAC has looked at trying to be a no-kill shelter. On occasion, it has to happen. But is that working, or are no-kill shelters finding that the rising cost of keeping animals healthy and housed is just unsustainable?
Dan, I think when we began a few years ago, maybe jeepers now, a decade-ish, significantly changing how we operated PAC, the live release rate was 49%. Less than half the animals came in, made it out alive, and we focused on that number. We are now in the high 90s of animals that are saved. There is a cost to that, and that I hear from people who are concerned that we're keeping some animals alive that shouldn't. One of the reasons we have a philanthropic arm and not fundraising arm is for the Delta, because the hard part for me and my animals come from PAC, so I love it. We use taxpayers' dollars to run the facility. If an animal has been injured and needs a surgery to be kept alive, is that the appropriate way to spend taxpayers' dollars? Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a public health platform or foundation that is paid by taxpayers. The delta of what I think our community wants as a standard of care, that yes, we do take care of those animals and we do fix the broken leg, whatever, that delta between what the taxpayers pay as the foundation and what might be needed to respond to the need is where we go to the philanthropic dollars.
Right.
And I think we work with partners. At some point, it is also, we've all been through putting an animal down, and right. It is a very difficult process. At some point, it's the right and the most humane thing to do for that animal. But each decision for every animal is made with a lot of attention and care made to that individual animal.
And I think an 8-year-old cat with a broken leg, obviously it's suffering, you fix that. Yes. An 8 to 10-year-old cat with cancer and needs an $8,000 operation, that's a lot of money, and it's a lot of taxpayer money.
And that's what I think, and it's these really hard things to say, that's not an appropriate use from my perspective, taxpayer dollars.
Sure.
Which is why we love Friends of PAC, and actually was meeting earlier this week with the new leadership out at the Humane Society. Another thing.
Yeah, she was on our show a week or so ago.
Kristen Barney.
Yeah, Kristen.
Who used to do work.
So things are aligning. We had Nancy Young Wright on the show this week. Things are aligning to kind of have some cohesiveness among our animal welfare organizations, which I venture to say per capita, we have more animal welfare organizations than any other place in the United States.
We have a lot, and we have to work
people
together.
People love
we
animals in this town,
together.
Which I think is great.
Yep.
People also love libraries. No libraries are in danger of immediate closing right now. Can we say that?
We can say that, absolutely not. No libraries in immediate danger.
But we're
going
to look at the big picture.
We're studying all of our facilities. Libraries is one of them. I'm meeting tonight just from 3:30 to 5:30 with the Library Advisory Board to speak specifically to this issue, to talk about not only what are the big picture plans for libraries, but more specifically what might be a vision for a downtown library. And I can tell you from my perspective, I'm not the board, but from my perspective and recommendations I'll make, there will always be a downtown library.
Mm-hmm. If it's utilizing some of the space in the existing building.
Correct.
Which Amber Mathewson has talked about is a possible.
It's a possibility. We may need to get out of it for a while if it goes through some renovation.
Sure.
And move things around. But again, when I was growing up, I went to what's, I know. There,
you
yes,
sat
there,
in a little
it was
bitty
good,
chair.
Yeah, well, there was, yeah, I Gutenberg just, had one I Bible, can, perhaps. I can, we read it.
But, I can see you in the little bitty chair there. Yeah.
But it was the Carnegie.
Yeah.
What's now the Tucson. Mm-hmm. That was the downtown library when I grew up, but there was a downtown library.
Dan, what are we forgetting here?
I want to go back to the libraries a little bit because I thought that the county made a very brave decision by deciding that three libraries needed to be closed, as I recall. And then someone hit the pause button. And I think it was over emotions, which, again, should not play a role in spending taxpayer dollars. I was really disappointed to see that. Because I didn't see a clear reason why we shouldn't go forward with what seemed to be a very good plan.
And Dan, I hit the pause button because what really happened in that area, an internal document that was being discussed and debated within the staff of the library that had not gone to the Library Advisory Board or to county administration or to the Board of Supervisors was leaked, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so all the conversations were about that. That is a staff recommendation that we've been looking at from the library department. But we're not going to do anything about our libraries without a lot of other people engaging in the conversation. So I think that's why we hit pause for a moment. Mm-hmm. The world is changing. Libraries are changing. How people are using books is changing. And what can we do to best serve the community? So we may be back to that, but I think we've just got to do a lot more work really reviewing that report.
What are we missing? Your personnel? How are things going filling vacancies?
You know, 2 years ago, we had a vacancy rate at bumping around 25%.
Whoa.
Right now, we're at about 10.
Wow.
So it has...
What departments need people?
Animal care. always need some. Yeah. We could look for a director, but mm-hmm. Finance, health department, IT. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think we have many departments that are at 100%, mm-hmm. but many, we can always use good people. Pima.gov is a good way to see what kind of jobs might be available right now.
And the only thing I missed in my stack of stuff, all these food trucks have to be licensed in Pima County, and I know you've been looking at all of them.
Well, and I think yesterday we started seizing equipment.
Yes.
That you can't just open up a truck and start serving meat. And it happened in Phoenix, and they keep kind of running around town, but we finally have the court orders.
They had some health issues in Phoenix.
Sure do, yes, and we have court orders. We're taking equipment. I think if you are standing outside the Safeway and you choose to buy tamales from that individual, then you know what you're getting or not. But I think people see what looks like a food truck and assume that there is a standard of care or that they have been inspected in some way. And that is not accurate. So we are finding those individuals and shutting them down and encouraging folks to use our local businesses.
I'm glad I brought it up.
Thank
All
you.
Right. I think we covered everything that I wanted to cover. Thank you very much, Jan Lesher.
Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Dan.
Hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Okay. We'll take a break right here. I'll have a few minutes with Dan. And then coming up, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, our very popular sister station here at Bustos Media. Ken Carr is waiting in the wings. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Wow, where does the time go? Into segment four already with Dan Scheer. Actually, no, it's segment three. We'll have segment four with Ken Carr, 101.7 The Drive. What's going on with the issue with the parks down in Sahuarita? There's an issue with the turf or something?
Oh, man. So we're between seasons, so that's the time that they use to kind of spread they put it on all the sports fields, and they discovered about halfway through that process that there was glass and metal mixed with the fertilizer.
Uh-oh.
And of course you can't have kids out there playing on
that.
So I went out there, and Bill, you know, in this business, some days we're talking to members of Congress and the next day literally I'm plowing through a 5-foot pile of manure. Now I know some people think that's the same thing, but I'm plowing through this manure and I'm finding glass and all this sorts of stuff. And so they went out and they kind of swept the fields and reopened a couple and discovered this is not good enough. So we might have a really, really big problem on our hands. So the next step is to bring in something that golf courses use to just kind of sweep the turf and everything, trying to get more of that glass and metal up. If that doesn't work, we'll have to see. It could become a very expensive process for the person who supplied the fertilizer, one would assume, that you might actually have to dig a couple inches down and start from scratch.
Yeah, kind of like a Zamboni for turf.
Correct,
like people
correct.
Know hockey, there where they clean the clean the ice. But they're going to have to actually maybe go down a couple inches.
Right, and again...
And just take all that topsoil away.
So there's no doubt anymore. And so can you imagine, though, if they don't do something like that, they could have kids out there playing,
sure.
And even 2 years from now, if someone gets cut, you could be facing a problem.
Yeah, is that a large field?
It's
Give
several
us some
fields.
Idea.
It's every
it
public...
Like a football field length? Or?
Yeah, there's several ball fields and then soccer fields. And the only thing that really weren't... affected would be like the dog parks are not, and then there's a green area that's not, but it's pretty much any public playing field in the town of Sarita right now is closed. Could be for a while.
You know, one thing I didn't bring up with Jan, and the race with Sheriff is so close with Lappin and Nanos, and Nanos is supposed to be our Friday Focus interview next Friday. What will happen with this committee that looked at building a new jail? So you got to wonder if there's a change in leadership there, whether that will be backburnered, who knows?
Well, I was at a debate where she was part of, and they were asked that. And as I recall, she was saying that, we do need something. I just don't know that it's a full-blown new jail. And so she's certainly aware of the problem. She works at the jail.
Yeah.
And so she knows this. But when we're talking like a potential billion-dollar new jail, I don't know that she would agree that that's probably what is needed.
It looks like there'll be a recount either way.
Right, and the
but
state law
But we've
seen
is, a lot of recounts, and haven't we, Dan, in our careers?
Yep.
And how much usually changes?
Not much. And so...
few votes.
Exactly. So if it's within a 0.5%, and they are right now, easily, it's an automatic recount for most races in the state of Arizona, not everything. If it's a school board race, they're not recounting those types of things. But something big like this, yes. So we're very eager to see how the votes come in over the next few days, and I know they are too.
Were there any school bond elections in your area?
We had a we did have one. It was just to go up one percentage point in the Continental School District. That one passed fairly easily.
They've been passing.
They have been passing. People, you know,
there was a trend where they didn't a few years ago.
Absolutely, yeah. Or overbond overrides that have to be renewed.
Yeah.
But we'd passed in Sahuarita a $50 million bond for the schools a year ago, and I think they didn't want to be on this ballot, by the way, because there was so much on this, and they would have just kind of lost people's attention. And so I think they did a wise thing by pushing it through last year, and they're already spending that money, and wisely.
People are so frustrated with this slow count, and I know that the legislature is going to look at what happened in Florida, where they have a deadline for getting in the early ballots. Even if that passes, which I think is entirely possible, the governor might veto it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll just, you know, there's so much going on with this, but people are frustrated. And in fact, we do know that there is a request on next week's Board of Supervisors agenda. And let me just read a little bit of it from you. This is from Steve Christie. He's requesting an independent investigation by the AG's office, or what they call a non-conflicted county attorney, regarding, this is quoting, actions taken by Pima County Recorder Casares Kelly with respect to early voting in the general election. And so there was a time, the way this is worded is cancellation of voters accepted online ballot by mail request. And what happened was that the recorder's office got overwhelmed and shut down a portal for people to be able to get this ballot request done, and instead threw people to the phone. So you know that sometimes people just say, forget it, I'm not going to make the call.
Yeah.
And it was just a surprise. It was just like suddenly this thing shut down a week early, and Supervisor Steve Christie wants some answers on it, and I certainly do not blame him.
Boy, a lot of stuff going on, right, Dan?
Love the election season, and it's never over on Election Day.
No, and the big story, I think, to watch in 2025, how the Trump administration will handle illegal immigrants, and how Pima County and the rest of the state's going to react, and then RTA next. We'll have to watch that. A couple of big stories.
Big year coming up.
So thanks, Dan, for everything you do.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, take a break right here. Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive. The very popular Ken Carr is waiting in the wings.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
It is time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. I like it very much over there with that weekend forecast, about 70 degrees. Great weather to go do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic. A lot of wonderful Victorian architecture in Silver City. Here's the good news. It's only about a three-hour drive. Easy drive, I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, then head up the mountain to Silver City. Your elevation's going to be about a mile high, about the same as Denver, so you're going to have some great weather over there. SouthwestNewMexico.org to start your planning for your trip to Southwest New Mexico and Silver City and Grant County. Let's start our planning for a fantastic weekend. Joining me in studio, always a pleasure to have the midday guy, the very popular Ken Carr from 101.7 The Drive, one of our sister stations, as we've got five radio stations now under one roof here under the Bustos Media banner. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. What do you got for us?
This is one of those weekends where there's pretty much something for everybody.
Oh, I like that.
So we'll start out with, have you ever played the board game Clue?
Of course.
Well, they had the musical production that ran on Broadway. Of course, there's the Paramount Pictures movie that came out in 1985 and the classic board game. And so they've got a traveling version of this, Clue, live on stage. And it's running through Sunday with showtimes each day at Centennial Hall.
From board game to stage.
I know. I'm trying to picture the singing of, you know, Colonel Mustard in the hall with a rope. Must be fantastic. Yeah, that's sure. All I know. Let's see. Speaking of musicals, Scrooge the musical is running through November 30th.
The ever popular Scrooge.
Yeah. Temple of Music and Art at 330 South Scott. And it's a production of that beloved story of Ebenezer Scrooge. More singing. Mm-hmm. Scrooge. Okay. I'll stop. Have you ever gone to, or I probably haven't gone, but have you ever seen the Westminster Dog Show on TV?
Sure. Love it.
We have sort of a local version of that, the Coyote Classic All-Breed Dog Show, which runs through Monday at the Pima County Fairgrounds, and it is kind of what you expect when you see the Westminster Dog Show. It's all of the breeds and the people who take training and showing their dogs seriously at a level that the rest of us can't fathom.
Yeah, the dogs have special trailers and everything. No, I don't know if they
stars makeup on their doors. Yes,
makeup. Yeah.
Come in. Yeah. They have it all.
Yes.
But anyway, you can catch that through the weekend at the Pima County Fairgrounds.
Pampered animals.
I'm picturing that right now. Yeah, it's pretty good. I'm trying to remember the name of the movie that had... I'm blanking on it. We'll go on. If you like bulls, here's a great event today and tomorrow at the TCC. The top 30 bull riders in the world competing. They call it Unleash the Beast.
101 Dalmatians. There you go.
But if you'd like to see some bull riding, that's where you head this weekend. The Amato Chili Cook-Off Classic Car and Motorcycle Show is happening tomorrow.
Good eating.
9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's right off of I-19 at the Aravaca Road exit, the Chili Cook-Off. Mm-hmm. I've been a judge at a Chili cook-off before, and it is it's intense, to say the least.
Did people you get your fill?
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. Huge. They also have a classic car and motorcycle show, vendor fair, live music, food and drink. Should be a lot of fun. And one other thing I was going to mention is that El Tour de Tucson is coming up. And that's next weekend.
Yeah.
But a lot of people come to town for this. So make sure you welcome them with open arms. They're going to be staying in our hotels and eating at restaurants in the Tucson area. And there are a lot of people who bring their bicycles. I'm crossing my fingers. Hopefully the weather will be fantastic for that. But that is next Saturday.
All right, Ken Carr, thank you very much. We'll be listening to you on 101.7 The Drive. The Buckmaster Show. Wrapping it up, The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. On behalf of Ken Carr and all of us here at Bustos Media and our friend on the other side of the glass, Tom Fairbanks, doing a great job engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well. Have a great weekend.